Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come together before you and we do seek your face. You have opened our eyes to believe that you are God and that you exist and that you hear our prayers. And you have given us a desire to be in your presence, to know you and to find delight in you. And we are exercising faith to do that. Not only the faith that spiritually grasps and senses, apprehends you, but also that with all the different things that are between us and you and one another, internet connections, funny glitches in technology, constraints because of the virus and wanting to care for one another and to be careful. But none of those things stop us from the spiritual communion and fellowship that you have established between yourself and us and the bonds of the Spirit that we have with one another. We thank you, Lord, that we can be together and that we have assurance that you have put together in one body a people through the work of Jesus Christ and his Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the sure promise that we are inheritors of a great fortune, that it is ours, although we have not fully come into the possession of it. We have ownership of it, and you've given us a down payment of it. So tonight, Lord, as we reflect on your mercies to us and our union to Christ and to one another, and as we labor in prayers, we pray that you would strengthen our faith and strengthen our perception of your nearness and of your Spirit working in us individually and among us. Give us strength to support one another in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're meeting together. Again, this meeting is completely in a virtual format because of the outbreak of COVID that we had in our congregation. I'm thankful to report in touch with everyone that I know of that has COVID is recovering. One of the people who was oldest and was having the longest duration of symptoms reported that energy is back and Chick-fil-A has taste once again. So thankful that the Lord has raised up his people again. I'm going to start our time tonight by looking in Mark, two verses, Mark 5, verses 18 and 19. And these were some things that couldn't fit into the sermon this week, but I wanted to bring them out. So Mark 5, 18 and 19, and this is the account of Jesus casting out the legion of demons from this man. And these are just the closing two verses. It says, when he, that is Jesus, got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. So, what do we have here? Well, on Sunday, we looked at Jesus delivering a man from the demon legion. And for our time tonight, there's just one more observation that we didn't have time to look at during the sermon. When you read Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, one thing you might notice in the midst of what's happening between Jesus and the man and the demons that are cast out is this. In all of that, there are five requests that are made to Jesus, or you could say there are five prayers that are offered to Jesus in this account. Verse 7, the possessed man asks Jesus not to torment him. That's the first one. Verse 10, the possessed man, or maybe it's the demon, asks Jesus not to send them out of the country. That's the second request. Verse 12, the demons ask Jesus to send them into the swine, that they might enter the swine. That's the third request. Verse 17, the people from the region, they plead with Jesus and ask him to depart from their region. So four requests, you could say maybe even four prayers by a possessed man, by demons, by the people of Decapolis. Requests brought to Christ. Notably, those four requests are all made by what seem to be unbelievers. Now, how does Jesus answer those four requests that come to him? He says yes. He says yes to all four requests. Jesus does not send them out of the country. Jesus grants them permission to enter the swine. And as they request, Jesus leaves the Decapolis, just as they have pled of him. He grants all of those requests. But there is a fifth prayer request in this passage. Verse 18, the delivered man, the one who's now seated, clothed, and in his right mind because of Jesus, this man makes a request to Jesus. It says, when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Now, Jesus has just answered yes to four requests from unbelievers. How will Jesus answer the request from this new believer? Well, Jesus says no. Verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Five requests made to Jesus in this section. Jesus grants the first four, all made by unbelievers, but he denies the fifth request, which is made by a new believer. The delivered man asks to stay with Jesus. It's a good request. He's not making an evil or a selfish request, but Jesus says no. And he sends the man instead to tell his people about Jesus. So here's the question that we're brought to ask ourselves. Does Jesus say no to your prayers at times? He does. He does say no at times to the things that we ask him. So in this little part of the passage, three things that we want to see when Jesus says no to our prayers. First is this. Jesus' no shows compassion. When he says no, he is showing compassion to us. When we say no to one another, maybe someone asks, hey, could you come help me move this refrigerator on Saturday? Or, hey, could I borrow your lawnmower? And we may say no to one another. When we say no, often, even if there's a good reason or it's understandable, we do lack compassion at times. But when Jesus says no to us, he demonstrates compassion. How do we see it here in this passage? Well, the context of the passage is Jesus has just sought out and raving, naked, unclean Gentile man who's filled with evil. He loved one who was unlovely in this passage. So you know that Jesus is already speaking from compassion towards this man. He has compassion for this man. But when in verse 19, he says no, and he sends him back home with this chance to show the compassion that Jesus has shown him, we understand that this no is sending the man in compassion to talk about compassion that he's received. So when he says in verse 19, tell them how he has had compassion on you, he's talking about the whole story, how he delivered the man and has sent him to them. There's compassion in all of that. So when Jesus says no to you, we're called to step back, inspect the bigger picture, and as we inspect it, expect to find that Christ's compassion is there, even in the no that he's giving us. The second thing to look at here when Jesus says no to our prayers is this. When Jesus says no, it's because we don't need what we're asking. If he says no, it's because we actually don't need what we're asking. Now, in this case, the man asks to stay with Jesus. And again, he's not making a bad request. He does not need to be rebuked for what he's asking. It's a good thing that he's asking. But what Jesus is saying to the man is this: you already have enough for today. You don't need more time with me, at least not right now. You've got enough to go on a mission to declare me to 10 cities. You've got enough. So when you ask for Jesus to do something, or you ask him to give you something, maybe more guidance, more rest, more feeding, more fellowship with him, or more fellowship with other believers, and he says no, could it be that he has already given you enough for the good work that's right in front of you for today? Now, thirdly, when Jesus says no, we can also respond this way. When he says no, we expect him to make much with your little. Expect him to make much with your little. Expect Jesus to make much with the little that it feels like you have. The man thought he needed more time with Jesus, maybe more growth, maybe more fellowship with Christ and with the fellow disciples. Instead, Jesus sends him to proclaim Christ in 10 cities. And the man succeeds by God's power. Verse 20, it says, he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. All marveled. The man had enough to powerfully proclaim successfully in 10 cities. Maybe after those 10 cities, he needed to come back and then be with Jesus. We don't know. But for that day, when Jesus said no, Jesus then made much of the seemingly little that the man had. So I encourage you, bring your requests to Jesus. He says yes 4 out of 5 times in this passage. And if he says yes to you, rejoice and enjoy it. And if he says no, trust him, expect him to make much of your little. Jesus has had great compassion towards you. So look for his compassion even in his no.